After much request from listeners to incorporate more text into the joy of text, we have added a special text segment with Rabbi Linzer, and this is hopefully something we're going to continue to do throughout the joy of text. Rabbi Linzer.
I'd like to look at a passage from the Gemara Nida, which is well known because of a comment of Rashi on the Torah, and appreciate a little bit more what it's saying. On the verse in Vayikra where it says, Yishak Tazri of Yalda Zachar, if a woman gives forth seed and gives birth to a male child, Rashi quotes the Gemara Nida that says as follows, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Rabbi Ami, said Rabbi Yitzchak in the name of Rabbi Ami, Isha Mazrat Tchila Yoledet Zachar, Ish Mazriat Tchila Yoledet Nikeva. If the woman gives forth seed first, then she gives birth to a male child. If the man gives forth seed first, she gives birth to a female child. Shenemar, Isha ki tazri av yalda zachar. If the woman gives forth seed, and then she has a male child. So this seems to be a type of a medical comment of the Gemara about just, you know, how somehow the science works or their understanding of the science of procreation works. And I actually have heard some religious Orthodox doctors that want to say that there actually is some medical basis for this. I'm not going to comment on that. But I think what's more significant is how this plays out in terms of the dynamic between husband and wife and actually an ethos in the Gemara about the man's responsibility to make sure that his wife is having pleasure in the sexual act. Because let me first say about what the science is or that the Gemara believes in that is behind this. Already from Hippocrates, there was a belief in the ancient world called the two-seed belief in procreation, which is to some degree similar to our idea about what we know about in terms of the egg that the woman produces. But this was more directly associated the same way when the man ejaculates, so when the woman is sexually aroused and when she has orgasm, it also leads to her releasing fluids, that those fluids were necessary for the conception of the child, the same way that when the man ejaculates, it was necessary. Obviously, the semen for the conception of the child. And when those two fluids came together, the child was conceived. So that's the background. And interestingly, historically, what happened just in terms of the larger world is that led to a raising of the importance of women having sexual pleasure in the act, because if a woman doesn't have orgasm, the belief was that you couldn't have a child. Once it was discovered in medical science that that was not necessary for the woman to have pleasure, then that led to a decrease in valuing women's pleasure in the sexual act. But this was the belief in the time of the Gemara. So by saying that when the woman gives forth seed first, she has a male child, well, it was also the reality in the ancient world and in many places today too, that people wanted boys rather than girls. And therefore, what it meant is that the man has to make sure that his wife actually achieves orgasm before he does, if he wants to have those male children. So it actually translated into an incentive for men to sort of hold themselves back and focus on their wives' pleasure rather than just on their own pleasure. So it's interesting on the one hand in terms of how that becomes something that informs a larger halachic and Torah value of the man's responsibility to ensure that his wife is receiving pleasure in the sexual act, has an orgasm, and so on. It's also interesting, though, to wonder about how that plays out in terms of, like, based on a science that isn't actually true, that we don't actually believe in. And I'll just say one last thing, and I'd love to hear your thoughts. Rivka Hout, Aleha Shalom, is a major Aguna activist and a feminist, and she passed away recently. She was in my Daf Yomi shiur, and when we got up to this in the Daf Yomi, here I thought, oh, look, I'm saying such a positive message towards the attitude, towards, you know, women and their sexual satisfaction. And then she turns to me and she said, what do you think that how that would reflect in society about a man who only had daughters? Like, what would people be thinking about him? So it's like, okay, I can't win. So anyway.
Well, that is true. Every time I hear you give a talk that's like has this really powerful feminist message, somebody jumps on you because it's not feminist enough. Or then people jump on you because it's not. You know, I feel like I have a different take. I think the jump from Zera for the woman to say it's an orgasm is a little bit of a leap. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like, you know, that's lovely that you're putting in that kind of PC, you know, rendering mm-hmm. of it, but I think that's a little bit of a leap. I don't know what they meant about Zera. My guess is they meant something that they couldn't see, because you don't need scientific research to know this, right? Even an N of one or two can figure this out, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you don't, in other words, you don't need to have a study of a statistic on this. If the couple knows that he had boys, so then she must have been having Zera, whatever mm-hmm. the heck that meant.
Right.
So, it's lovely that it's kind of been reinterpreted for the orgasm issue. That's kind of sweet, but it kind of a little bit seems irrelevant to me. And by the way, in terms of the science, just if anybody's interested, I think the idea is that if you are actually understanding this orgasm, there are uterine contractions. And so speed, you know, there's X and Y chromosomes, and the sort of the X sperm travels faster or slower. I think it's faster than the Y, which is why they say if you conceive, scientifically they say if you conceive closer to when the egg is expressed from the woman, it's more likely to have a girl. So there is some interesting internal logic to this.
Right, an attempt to try to...
You say that this, her zera is actually an orgasm, which is actually a uterine contractions. But anyway, I don't know. To me, it feels a little bit like hokey science and not particularly meaningful. Rainey, do you feel otherwise?
Yeah, well, I kind of like the point you made about no matter what you say, there's always someone who's going to kind of... So I feel like that about the text too. Like when you're learning Nida, especially Nida or Ketubot, so there are certain things that are like obvious that you can point out as being kind of difficult texts. I think I generally fall into the camp of like looking to find any way of empowerment through the text because it's pretty rare when you can find it. So I happen to think it's really beautiful that they're talking about it. Yes, maybe it's not in the way that we would have liked because Zera, you know, meaning orgasm, but I think for like maybe where they were at medically and where they were at historically, you know, I don't know that I would necessarily hold that against them. And I happen to love teaching like halachic sex ethics because I do think that there is a lot to look into it that is kind of nice and empowering. And to hear that female orgasm is really important to me is something as a woman or, you know, as an Orthodox woman is something that's very important within the text. And I guess I tend not to look to nitpick at the details and see ways to make it like offensive or, you know,
problematic.
So
let me come to defend the fact that it might actually mean orgasm and not just a later one. First, I'm going to read to you a passage from Hippocrates on the generating seed and the nature of the child, where he writes, in the case of women, it's my contention that when during intercourse, the vagina is rubbed and the womb is disturbed, an irritation is set up in the womb, which produces pleasure and heat in the rest of the body. A woman who also releases something from her body, sometimes in the womb, which becomes moist, and sometimes externally as well, if the womb is open wider than normal. Once intercourse has begun, she experiences pleasure throughout the whole time until the man ejaculates. If her desire for intercourse is excited, she emits before the man, and for the remainder of the time, she does not feel pleasure to the same extent.
That was supposed to help.
And apparently that was...
Yes. That was supposed to help? That was so irritating.
Like, why?
Because
that's exactly the science that was
informing because
this.
Orgasm doesn't come from intercourse. Let's just start from that in
Wait
most
a minute.
Cases.
I thought he'd talk about stimulating the clitoris. He talks about the stimulation of the vagina. He doesn't talk
the
about
the vagina is not the clitoris.
Yeah, but I'm not sure he was distinguishing.
I think he absolutely was. Anyway. Oh my God. I think he's saying like when the penis is in the vagina, if she's having pleasure, then she gets wetter, which is actually true. There are secretions.
Right.
That's good. But
all right, you didn't think that helped.
It, but it's fine.
All right, well, let me read you.
I don't find that, Gamara. I don't find that girl offensive.
All right, I'm gonna
read. Yeah, I agree, but it's interesting to know where they look to put certain things in.
All right, I'm going to read from one other Gemara, which is the same basic idea, but it's not only said as a medical point, but as a values point, and I think it indicates, again, more the idea of orgasm. And here's what the Gemara says. Okay, it's in Gemara Nida 70b. I'll just read the English. What must a man do to ensure that he has male children? Okay, so the Gemara gives one answer and says, rather, let him pray for mercy from him from who the children are. As it says, lo, children are the heritage of God. The fruit of the womb is a reward. What does this teach us? Reb Chama, son of Rabbi Chanina, replied, as a reward for containing oneself, holding oneself back during intercourse in the womb, in order that one's wife may emit the seed first, the Holy One gives one the reward of the womb, gives one male children. So here, it's not a medical point. It's you're being rewarded by God for this virtuous act. And this virtuous act is holding yourself back, you the man, while you're in the womb, so that the wife may emit semen, emit seed
first.
I like
first. That one a little better.
Well, I feel like I'm gay. I feel like when I learned this Gemara, my issue was that like the fruit of the womb comes from the man, and
yes,
it's like
exactly.
her fertility is a reward through his action. Like it's very interesting that the way she is fertile is based on his actions.
Well, fertile with male children.
Yeah, well, medically, obviously that doesn't line up, but Whatever.
Okay. All right. So once again, I can't win.
No. Not you.
I'm teasing.
I think what's really fascinating is like looking at these texts and sort of struggling with them. I think that's what it's about, right? Like, and what ones sort of do make sense and feel like empowering and positive, and some of them that are also.
Right. But just to take a step back and say, look, we all know that the physiological reality is that a man can ejaculate and get pleasure through the sex act before without the woman getting, you know, pleasure, or certainly not getting orgasm and so on. And for the Talmud to say that there's a value that you're rewarded by God for the man to hold himself back so that his wife receives pleasure, I think that that's just, I think you can't deny the power of that statement.
I agree. And that's one of the reasons I love teaching this, is because I think that it's very rare, maybe it's not, but that, like, the Gemara talks about female pleasure. To me, that's something I would have never guessed growing up learning Gemara, and now coming to these sources as, like, a Maharat, it's amazing to see how willing our rabbis are to talk about ideas like female pleasure, and maybe they're not in the ways that, like, medically line up or that we would like to see it, but it's very, like, it's amazing. I don't really know of other religions that are so open about talking about female pleasure and about marital relations.
We don't really know about other religions.
Me either. So. Well, that's what I'm saying. Okay. Maybe I don't know, but it's something that I think maybe people don't talk about, but
it's great that
it exists here. And I think even in, like, modern society, female pleasure is maybe something that's, like, more recent than not. And it's amazing to see that it's actually part of our halacha and Gemara.
And culture.
And culture.
Great.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.